This is Jimmy Doan.
Jack Rhodes.
Councilor Curtis.
An engineer.
And you're listening to The Jack Rhodes Show.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show. We just finished Jimmy the Jack Rhodes Show. Just, yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's all over. Catch me next time.
He'll be here all last week.
Hey, Jimmy's here now.
Space-time continuum reference. Something kind of a bending of the space-time.
Welcome
continuum.
Back to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Yeah, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you guys?
Awesome. We're good.
Doing good. Got a little video this time, maybe, for those
maybe.
Of you. We'll have to see what's going to happen here.
Unfortunately, the
modem thing didn't, you know, I called him up and I gave him the MAC number and everything. And the girl says, yep, you're on. I just checked the lines. You know, they're all cleaned out. They're beautiful. You can work like a champ. And then I plug it up and there. No.
They sent the balls down the tubes.
Yeah, right. The pigs down the pipes.
And, what are we talking about?
The Daily Show.
Yeah.
John Stewart. Yeah, he's talking about, oh, God, that was hilarious. You know, I kept linking to that video bit. And they kept pulling it.
What?
Yeah, if you want to see it, you got to search for it. It was like
copyright violation.
It was Senator the Alaskan Senator explaining
Stevens
explaining how the internet works. And John Stewart did the most, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen him do.
Great parody.
A great parody on about how you can run horses down there, but then they get clogged up, so you got to roll a few lottery balls down there.
Hey, we'll have to put a link to it.
Yeah. I linked to it 10 times, and I keep having to go back and change it to a new one. I check the Jimmy Doan site archives, and maybe it'll still be there.
JimmyDoan.com.
Maybe he's pulling it, though.
Hey, what date is it today? Is it 21st or something?
Yes, yeah. Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
009.
Yeah, not an inheritance killer. What do you call it? It takes care of all your money, that's for sure.
Well, the sign on the vacuum cleaner place said, dads now carry pictures where they once used to carry money.
Yeah, right. No, that's it. You know, your wallet is
wallet is gone.
There's nothing green in there.
No,
that's right. A little bud, maybe, but. That's it.
Jimmy Doan.
That's right.
Yeah, so what's happening, Jimmy?
Oh, well, there are a lot of things happening. We got an email on something we're going to talk about. We got an email from Pantera, somebody or another.
Pantera?
I don't know. That's some
name. Hey, look, we got visitors from Madrid, Spain here.
Jimmy, Pantera was the girl of the bar last night.
Could have been. Anyway, Pantera wanted me to talk about gambling, which I've talked about before at length.
We do all
the time. But we're going to do it again because apparently he's an online poker player.
Is it he or she?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
This person did not.
It's
just this is a person who decided to remain anonymous for obvious reasons.
We understand that.
Yeah,
right?
We understand that. So.
They don't want a resume stain talking
about. That's
to
right,
us.
Resume stain.
As the hanger dogs would say.
You don't put on your resume, I listen to the Jimmy Doan Show. That's automatic shredding material.
Exactly.
You know,
not if you want the job.
Hey, no. We got repeat visitor here from Hudson? New Hampshire. And
of course,
Germany.
You know what our number one searched for term it was? It was by such a long shot.
What?
Alligator.
Alligator.
Really?
Yep. By right. such a long shot. That was our number one hit keyword term.
Well, I wonder why.
We put a picture of that. EJ sent us that picture of that huge monster alligator.
Right.
That they last when they had it holding up with a forklift, and like everybody loves that picture.
What?
So they go look. If you go to that Webstat thing that you're looking at.
There's a link to it on our site.
Yeah, right.
Man,
I mean, no.
All this time I thought it was my expert legal analysis.
No. Like, and I posted those Rush pictures when I went to see the Rush show.
Yeah.
Geddy Lee is like one of our third most popular keyword terms.
Unbelievable, yeah.
You know, and Rush. You
Nothing
know, live
to do with
Rush.
The show.
Nothing to do with the show.
No.
But there is a tribute Rush page on our Jimmy Doan show.
We didn't know that.
You can't get to it from here.
Okay,
let me just... It's a
from
hidden
universe,
page.
Right?
It's like jimmydoan.com/rush.html or something. Ah, but I didn't link to it.
Right.
But I posted it there, so...
Well, hey,
okay, the big news... Let me just run through real quick a couple of things. The big news, of course, big news about healthcare reform. And Obama's taken over the banks, of course, and General Motors, and now wants to do the health care.
Sounds like Chavez.
Sounds like, exactly. Hugo, you know, let's face it, and we chastised Hugo for this, and now it's happening right here in River City, right here in our own place.
Woohoo!
The Tehran vote, of course, in Tehran, you know, they reelected the president. Surprise, riots in the streets as we speak here on the 21st. And I think that somebody's going to send them a stern note. North Korea is going to launch a new missile to Hawaii. And I think we're going to send them an extra stern note.
And,
and then apparently the big deal, and this is something that I haven't really gotten into, apparently Congress has gotten into tweeting.
What?
Or Twitter.
Twitter.
Like crazy people.
And apparently UF here, this college, has too.
University of Florida.
Apparently that's one of the things that helps
tweeting.
A lot. You're only limited to like 140 characters, right?
What?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's 140
characters for what?
When you tweeting is Twitter
talking,
is like a text
communicating,
thing, but it's like instantaneous. And I think the maximum amount of characters that you're allowed to
That's
punch
right.
through is 140 each time.
That's right. Like I just ate a sandwich. Whoop.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
27 characters.
But apparently
it's
a big deal in Iran because they can't close it down because it's so distributed. They can close down Facebook and Google and stuff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but they can't close down
so
the
little
Twitter.
Information going through. Huh?
Right. Too much. Yeah, too much information.
Shooting at me
and
now.
And the other big deal, of course, we talked about.
Bombs
I mean, really
exploding.
Big deal that made the headlines, talked about everywhere, honest to God, and you could just see how important this was. Obama killed a fly.
Oh, PETA was pissed.
What happened?
I get it.
He was doing, this is unbelievable. He was doing an interview, and this fly was, you know, flying around his head, and he's waving at it, and finally it lands, and he goes, you know, and I'll tell you, and can you imagine, there were like 1,000 PETA people showed up with placards
instantly.
Almost immediately.
No, come on.
No, I'm dead. They have videos of this. It's
Did
unbelievable.
They walk you there over the bugs on the ground?
The fiber optics
I'm
were
telling
heating
you
up.
That, yeah,
did
that's
they
right.
drive their car through the fleets of mosquitoes?
You know what they did do? They gave him a one of those fly traps that you can release the fly later without harming it.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
This is, you know, I mean, you talk about people that have way too much time on their hands. It's one thing. This is people for ethical treatment to animals, right?
And flies an animal.
People eating tasty.
Well, I know, but I mean, what are they? I mean, are they? I don't see them out there in the middle of the Everglades feeding the mosquitoes with themselves. Maybe they should do
with
that.
Themselves.
Those poor hungry mosquitoes.
Poor hungry mosquitoes just go out there and hold your arms out. You know, right. Come on, boys, have a drink.
Right.
On me.
Yeah.
On me, literally.
Everybody
in me, whatever.
Kumbaya.
No, but I mean, it's stunning to think that they actually organized. I didn't realize this. Somebody said that there are arguably 20 million people that are members of PETA.
Couldn't help it, man.
20 million?
I don't believe it, but.
Let it run, baby. 2, 3, 4.
What is this?
Have a drink
have
on
Have a drink on me.
Yeah, you have a drink.
ACDC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby. Here come the skeeters. Throw in the mosquitoes. 2, 3, 4.
Come the skeeters. Throw in the mosquitoes. That's it. We used to have a restaurant here called Skeeters.
Yeah, we did. Skeeters
is good,
right,
too.
Huh?
It was good, too.
Oh, well, you know, it was famous because of the big buns.
Well, yeah, the biscuits and the Asher special, which you can still get up at the Cafe Risque.
Yeah,
I hear.
I haven't been there. Haven't been there for a while. But anyway, but I mean, you talk about. Let me tell you, it is a sad day with the 24-hour news cycle when you have the CNN and Fox and everybody all covering the killing of the fly. I mean. You know, maybe a little tiny casket or something.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't think about
that. What do they do when, like, that big truck goes by that's just spewing out chemicals, DDT or whatever?
Right, to kill the mosquitoes. That's number one. And
how
also,
about all the trucks going by with all the bugs splattered on their windshield?
Yeah, right. I have to say, you know, here in Florida, we have love bugs twice a year. And they,
friendly bugs, aren't they? Harming nobody.
Well, they're
birds eat bugs too, and frogs.
Yeah, this brings up, of course, the age old problem is what do you do when the endangered species eats the endangered plant?
Right.
I mean, you know, you got a problem here. Whose side are you on? I guess you get PETA people on one side protesting the eater.
Right.
And the other side protesting the E.D.
Right.
The E-10.
Eater.
E-10, yeah, right. Oh, my God. I mean, it is stunning to me that an organization can trivialize itself to such an extent to be bent out of shape by
not a fly.
A fly that Obama. I mean, it was big news. It was all over. And, of course, as usual, there's so much of this stuff. It wouldn't have been any news if they just shut up. I mean, but
so what's the
I
real
like the
news?
Little tiny casket idea, but I mean, wonder if you'd eaten the fly.
So what's the real news? As I said,
what's your point?
Iran.
What's your point, Jimmy?
Iran,
of course. The new president, of course. The place is
Iran.
Run by the mullah, and there's
mullah.
You know, there's been like hundreds of thousands of people in the streets protesting, and of course they called out the cops.
Well, fewer today,
and,
apparently.
After they broke out
the weapons, fewer people.
They're killing them.
Fewer people.
people now.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying.
They're large caskets. Many flies could be buried in there.
Just many pits.
That's right. So the
and Obama actually came out.
So, but everybody,
and said,
well, Obama begged off.
Said,
and this was amazing to me. I mean, because it's exactly what he should have said was. not my job, man. I mean, you know, it's their problem.
Not my job.
So you're back in the big O on this one.
On this one, I am. If he says, let's stay out of it and see what happens, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Because well, what could you do? You know, this talk about the United States.
Invade!
Well, they get in a lose-lose situation all the time. There is nothing you could say, really. That would... There's nothing you could say that would kill you one side or the other. Yes, I think we ought to have a recount, just like we did in Florida. Where are the Chads when you want them? You know,
Where are the Chads?
We're going to send a team over there.
Team, that's right. Jimmy Carter and everybody else.
Evaluators.
Recount.
Help them count.
Help him count, right? Get that guy, you know, remember that they always have that picture of that one guy.
Yeah. He's Catherine holding up,
he's looking through to see if it's a hanging Chad.
Right.
But, you know, at the point that the election was declared, of course, there were some, I don't know, several million votes that had not yet been counted. But the mullah, the big mullah over there,
that Khomeini.
Supreme leader.
Yeah, the Khomeini guy, right. He said that it didn't really matter because they were so far ahead they could never catch up kind of thing.
It's good
11
to be,
million votes ahead.
It's good to be the king.
Right. Well, this is the guy behind the throne and all of this stuff anyway.
Did they throw the election?
No. I mean, let's face it. The guy's going to stay in. It was interesting because we have a fairly large Iranian.
He was supposed to lose, you know.
I think he was supposed to win.
Jimmy, what I want to know is, so do you think Obama should come out and say, this is what I've, all the talking points I've heard. Should Obama come out and say, we support the freedom fighters. We support people.
The freedom fighters.
That's right. We support and we... And essentially, we don't support the regime that is oppressing them. Should he come out and support the
Jimmy's saying
the
no. Jimmy's saying
no. Stay
Jimmy's
out.
Saying,
stay
out. Says, Jimmy's saying. Out. Jimmy, here's what Jimmy's saying. Here's what Obama does. He goes.
Well, now, you know, now
he,
that we're
he zips
on
his lip. No.
So now that we're on camera, we can all see what you're doing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
no. He said it basically was an internal affair, and it is.
It's like
of course,
Schultz.
it doesn't stop him from going in every place else, and that's especially right. meddling in my affairs and everybody here in the United States and 160 other countries where we have troops. But I thought this was stunning that the guy would actually come out, and because these guys always have something to say on everything. They're just busybodies. The government people are always sticking their big schnozzolas into, and not a slam on any particular religious faith or anything, into every other people's business.
Just to clarify and demo.
Just clarify that, that's right.
Jimmy's a member of every faith, right, so he can do
right.
that.
That's right.
Not a member of all offers.
Well, you know, speaking of that, here's a small diversion, although I'm finished with that topic.
A diversion? Oh, here comes the drinking game.
Yeah.
We didn't get Tio Tlocky wrote in about the drinking game.
Is that right?
He's
going
to.
Yeah, first
you know, you can imagine what's going to happen when this is actually live.
That's right.
And, you know, and people are starting to come in on Skype or whatever, and we see when we do the video conferencing here.
All right, so that was a diversion before the diversion.
You're slurring the text.
Okay, I lost my.
Oh, another diversion.
No, we have an undiversion.
Well, they take a drink if you lose your train of thought, too.
Okay, good.
That's a double shot.
Why did you...
Double shot.
Why did you make me do that?
It was Jack.
It's what I do.
Jack did it.
Jack did it.
It's your diversion. No. How could you forget your diversion?
What were we talking about right before that? It was the Obama thing and international relations.
Obama, do nothing. Right. Keep your mouth shut. Right?
Keep your mouth shut.
That's right. And then you said you were going to...
And I had a great...
Iran.
Well, the problem with the diversion is there was no segue.
Well,
so there's
is.
Nothing that went
That's
before.
Right.
It was I was reminded like up here, but this connection was severed between you guys.
Oh,
and
maybe
here.
It'll come back.
Oh man!
Oh, it will come back.
Oh, it will.
Oh yeah!
It'll come back
right as soon as we end the show.
Yes.
As we're all driving home, we'll get phone calls from Jimmy.
All right.
No,
so
they're going to send more stern notes. That's it. That's a big deal. They're going to certainly send more stern notes.
So go Obama. Woo!
But I just again, I'm just wondering
the good news.
The talk shows. Almost to a man, we're saying that this is a great thing that Obama's doing, that you're taking over everything, General Motors and Chrysler and the banks, and what else has he taken over? The brokerage houses, you know, the thing, you know, the money
Sweeping
supply, the Fed, the Treasury, all that, all going to be taken over.
New, brand new organization this
brand
week.
Brand new czars,
right.
All of the czars everywhere. Multi-czar, we've got a multi-czar community, and...
A czar.
A czar of czars, right? Probably be next. And, you know, Hugo's decided to come up here and take lessons because he said, well, you know, I thought I was good, but Obama, no, you know, he's...
You can do it in a free country.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you get away
ale,
with it.
Ale, ale.
No, Hugo's been...
Hugo.
Chomp. I guess the hangar dog probably put that that Hindus in the News thing where the guy got electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do I talk Chomp. About a
we,
shot?
We almost need the Barack Obama.
We'll come up with one.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
Yeah, we have to do
We're
something
working
like
on
that
it as we speak.
Okay, the next piece of international news, of course, is North Korea has decided to, in spite of the stern notes.
Yeah, there it goes.
The word is
well,
that everybody
we
says that he's
going
right. to have a missile that's able to reach Hawaii.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Not Hawaii.
And not Hawaii, right.
They're going to blow up our vacation ground.
Well,
that's going to piss some people off.
There's hot babes there, too.
Some well, they're going to be hot when they get done with the...
when they get boiled up by the...
When they get radioactive
right,
hot.
Radioactive hot.
You put the lime in the coconut.
No, but I mean, of course, it's interesting to see the running around here and virtually nothing. There's nothing they can do. They ought to just... Again, this is an area where they ought to just shut up and...
Bring it on. Hawaii, bring it on.
Well,
I see your missile and raise you to...
North Korea's had, what, four tests now since
At
Obama's,
least four, plus... Well, now, months. They've had how many, they've had like two or three atomic tests, right? The what? Bomb tests.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've had, what, four or so missile firings.
That's right.
And they're getting better, obviously, each time.
Man, the Japanese will go over there and kick their ass.
Well, the Chinese are on their border. I mean, the Chinese are walk across the street.
Yeah, but then, like, all they're going to do is walk over there with, like, sticks and stuff. I mean, the Japanese
what?
Will go over there.
Rakes.
Yeah, I mean, they go with rakes.
No. What are you talking about? The Chinese have got, like, this huge army of, you know, of people
yeah,
that
but
are...
they got, it's wooden knives.
No.
Bamboo.
You have to understand that the army...
They got nuclear on submarines,
wait. It's the army in Japan is, like, constitutionally banned.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to have one. They're not allowed to have a...
They're allowed to have, like, a samurai sword, right?
But the Japanese
I don't even know if they're allowed
fleet.
To have that. I mean, you know, they got...
The Japanese fishing fleet can beat up the Chinese, man.
Well,
They're
throwing shark
fins. Yeah, okay, right. You are going to hear about that.
Yeah. What are you talking about my country like that?
Oh, you're talking about my country like that.
No, I love the Chinese, but you're right.
I love the Chinese.
I love this. I love Chinese.
But I like Chinese.
The Japanese, yeah, and it's true, their military is banned for now.
For now.
No, but I mean, seriously, the thing is, if, you know, what happens when, no, seriously, so far, all that anybody's done is just talk. Right. And when you
well,
don't talk crazy people,
like
I mean, Kim Il-jong.
We're going to drop some leaflets on
yeah.
North Korea.
and the next
we
time.
We on your country.
And the next time, I'll tell you what. Well, the problem is, probably the first wave of leaflets will be like in English.
Right.
And they'll realize, this is probably not to work. We put this in Korean, maybe. And it looks like Korean, but I don't know.
Right.
You know.
They all look the same to me.
Yeah, that's right. It all looks the same.
A Japanese guy was studying Chinese, but, you know, it's all good.
It's all good. And so then we'll, and of course, I don't know. Let me ask you this. Our counselor here is a what do you call it, chicken scratch expert. How do you boldface or italicize Japanese writing?
Oh, you can italicize it real easy.
You can?
Yeah.
You just bend the little hut over a little bit or what?
No. See, because there's so many different strokes, it comes out like a completely different looking thing.
Okay.
So you italicize it by writing a completely different character.
Thank you for clarifying that for us.
Right. So basically what it is italics in Japanese is like an entirely different language.
Different 2,000 characters.
Right.
Right. And how about
2,000 is like the number they use in the paper.
Well, now they write up and down, right?
Right.
Okay, so how do you underline something?
You don't. You sideline it.
You sideline it. What does an asterisk look like in that language? I mean, is it? You know, footnote here.
Asterisk. Right? Yeah, that's a good
looks
question.
Looks like an asterisk.
I've never seen any. An asterisk they've got.
It's an asterisk.
The periods are little circles.
Okay.
Little circles for periods.
You know, somebody was telling me in the old days, of course, one of the problems with reading some of the early Shakespeare was the punctuation, you know, like didn't exist at that time. Yeah, a lot of stuff didn't.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of
punctuation. Wasn't a lot. So anyway, new stern notes coming out of Washington. I just think this is the why I was so surprised when Obama said with Tehran, you know, go at it, folks. We'll talk to you later or something. And of course, they with North Korea, they're sending them more notes.
Right.
Okay. Well,
we're gonna have a multilateral talk.
Yeah. You better stop doing that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, the other big news. The next piece of big news, of course,
I'm not messing around.
That they've talked about is healthcare reform.
Ooh! Man, hit some kind of sound effect for this. People die.
That was a good
screaming.
Enough one. That was a good enough one. You just popped that mic out.
Man, I'm telling you, man.
Well, you know, I had one. If Hillary won, if she mentioned healthcare reform, it was this one. as we fling her out.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of those sound effects, is what he's saying.
Let me tell you, Jimmy, this is just such bad news. I mean, they're trying to do, I'm just...
They're trying to remus.
What you got? Jimmy's got some yellow line paper. Yeah, exactly. There it is.
Hold it up to the mic so we can see it.
This is one of the articles on...
Yeah, we can actually see it.
This is one of the articles that I'm going to quote a little bit. This is from June 21st in a poll.
Which is today.
Today. In poll, wide support for government-run health. Considering a government health...
Well, in this office. I pulled it.
Well, when you read through the article, I don't have the entire... I only printed the first page, but that was plenty.
Everybody on 8th Street was into it.
Well, the shall we say the survey is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
The questions that were asked one way got, 84% response. And then when they asked the other way, the 16. Opposite, they got a 77 positive response.
Right.
77. So, I mean, they... Obviously, these people have no clue, and this reminds me again of those of the commentators that we're talking about a lot of this stuff that start off all the time. Well, I don't know anything about healthcare, but here's what I think ought to be done. I mean, all over TV they do this stuff. So anyway, in considering a government-run insurance plan to compete with private insurers, this apparently the big stumbling block right now to socialized medicine in the United States is there going to be a government insurance company like Medicare for everybody else?
Right.
Just
and
what
the,
I heard.
And the Republicans are saying no. It's all got to be run privately, and the Democrats are saying, well, no, we want a government agency like Medicare, only be called Minicare or something,
minimum care, no care, whatever. People are entitled to it.
They're entitled, right.
They're entitled.
To compete with the private insurers. Well,
right.
as we all know...
Who's going to win on that one?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how do you compete?
Let's see, who's got the guns?
Who competes with free anyway? I mean, it's like the education system. One of the things that is stunning to me... Do you mind? I've got the statement that people should probably memorize.
Do it.
Really. And that is competition. I don't know if I've actually said this in this few words before.
No.
Competition is what gives us everything. Competition guarantees perfect competition. When I say perfect competition, I mean without any government interference.
I was just going to say, Jimmy, because the Democrat from Iowa came out. I remember which one. But he came out and said that a new government insurance company would provide the competition to keep the rates low.
Right.
In other words, he wants to undercut what the private people can do in order to force them to lower their rates.
I love it.
And, of course, what he doesn't see is that several or a lot of them will go bankrupt.
Well, they go out of business. Why? Right. Look, we're making 6% now, and now if we match those rates, we'll make minus 1%. Tell you what, we're going to close our doors and give the money back to shareholders. And then the government will be, by default, the insurer. The total insurer, and it'll be, of course, you'll have to be forced to pay into it, and there's going to be rationing. There's two things there that are considered about this, and that has to do with rationing. But my point is this, that competition always provides us with the highest quality at the lowest price with the best conservation of all scarce resources that go into it. That's what competition does. There is no other way to achieve those three goals.
What about central planning czar, Jimmy?
No, there is that. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, this is the problem. When you realize that the only tool at government's disposal is a blocking tool, is a barrier tool. And so what they do is they either manage to raise the price, lower the quality, or they waste scarce resources by regulation or however they do it. The point is, in a truly free market, In a 100% free market, that competition always, always, always will result in the lowest price, and at that price, the highest quality possible under any term, and it will conserve to the highest possible amount all the scarce resources that go into that product. That is what people don't understand about competition. That's what competition does. It is the perfect. What happens with competition is that on a needed or wanted commodity, the price asymptotically approaches.
Whoa. That was
it means that it starts off.
That was the word of the day right there.
Asymptotically approaches the perfect price. That guarantees the lowest price, highest quality, maximum preservation of scarce resources. It does that.
But Jimmy, if the health czar comes out and plans an entirely new company, which all they do is offer lower priced health care, then how is that bad?
Because they can't. The simple fact is that all resources are scarce to some extent. I don't care what, even air and water. All resources are scarce, but healthcare is a scarce resource. And so you have to have a way of rationing. There has to be a way to ration health care. Now, you can do it one of two ways, basically. You can either have it price rationed by price, pure and simple. There, you pay for what you get across the board. No interference by anybody. Everybody decides what kind of doctor they want to be. Everybody decides on them for themselves what kind of health care they want or what they can afford. Poor people, yeah, you get left out. Tough noogies, you know. But that's what happens.
Noogie.
And it's actually what happens is that the way, because in a competitive society, more and more things come online, as we have seen with computers, for instance. Junk computers today that I've seen on Craigslist or eBay or anything like that that are, you know, $100 were $10,000 just a
couple
of years
ago. Are you trying to say that competition in the healthcare industry would keep the prices down so that even the poor
people
would benefit?
And the quality high, competition would be, the quality would be high, the price would be down, and it would save and utilize resources to their best advantage. That's exactly what I'm saying. And the problem is because it is so complex and because there's so many inputs, it would very quickly narrow down to what they call commodity pricing on healthcare. And yes, it's true that the wino living under the bridge in a cardboard box might not get that liver transplant, but you're not going to get it anyway. So the one way to ration healthcare is strictly through pricing and pricing only. And that's what people are upset about because they consider it right. The other way is to have somebody sitting in an office saying, you get this and you get that and you don't get this.
Well, isn't that fairer, Jimmy? I mean,
right, because,
you have a nice
because
person.
Because as P.J. O'Rourke says, the one thing that happens, the first
fair?
Thing that happens when you have, when votes decide what gets bought and sold, the first thing that gets bought and sold are the votes. So if you think for 2 seconds that this fellow or this bureau that is deciding who gets what and what get that this is going to be some kind of impartial computerized, we feed it into the computer and this is what you
the
get.
Health czar,
the health czar person. If you think that's going to be fair, you're out of your mind. You are out of your mind. It's going to be political. And the people that, this is one of those
Jimmy,
classic cases where the be careful what you wish for, because the people that think this is going to be better are going to quickly find out that it ain't. And then it'll be too late. Because, as always, when the government creates a problem, then there's a crisis. There's a crisis, and everybody says, well, the government has to fix it. So they put a new, as we've seen, they put a new crisis czar in, and then when that doesn't work, they have a crisis czar to regulate. I mean, they just, it's one layer after another.
So you're all excited about the health care reform.
Not exactly. And what is stunning to me, though, is to watch, is here's an article by this guy, David.
Is that what you were getting out of the conversation there?
Let me tell you what I really mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us what you really think, Jimmy.
But it is interesting because there's an article by David Leon Hart in the New York Times.
Hart.
And it's called Healthcare Rationing.
Hart.
Rhetoric overlooks reality, but this guy doesn't understand rationing either. He's got through the 4 points, and it is just amazing to me to watch a guy who's written a 2-page article. He's worried about the uninsured, and of course, again, we've talked about this
Everybody's
before. That insured
worried about the poor, Jimmy.
Well, I know they are, but that's going to bring up another local thing here that I want to talk to. I want to talk about Tent City, but remind me, so don't forget. I want to talk about Tent City.
Was that the thing you forgot earlier? Or
no, that's a new one. It's a new thing.
It's a new thing.
It's a new thing. I'm
going to
forget.
Okay.
Take your shots now.
Well, Jimmy, I mean, you know, so if we put into place a system that took care of the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Then
you're going to take care of them, all
hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Then you're going to find that euthanasia is going to be a way of life.
Well, no, take care of the poor people, like Medicare.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Right. Then all the middle class and upper class people would have enough money already. They got enough money to do their health insurance, right?
And if they don't, right. Well, one of the first things they want to do.
They don't need any help.
Of course, is to tax the rich people's health insurance benefits. That
Absolutely.
Is, when you get health insurance, there'll be another tax on that.
Well, naturally.
To pay for the poor people.
Of course.
If they just abolish the stupid licensing, and we could have more Dr. Nicks in the world.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
We'd be fine.
No, we
yeah,
would
you know?
Be. We'd
I mean,
be fine.
Jimmy, I've decided that
it's called culling the herd. It would be over fairly quickly.
There needs to be a ginormous loosening of the restrictions on the labor in this country before, yeah. you know, all the licensing and permits and everything you have to get and do. I mean...
Well, they don't... What happens is this is a classic case of what Bastiat called the seen and the unseen. A lot of people don't realize how many people just don't show up to get the permit because it's such a... Because they know it's going to be such a hassle. They have a great idea, and they look around and they say, geez, it's going to cost me, you know, $10,000 to get this thing off the ground. And I only have nine. I think I'll, you know, take a vacation instead. That's what, that is what.
Only have nine. Who's
whatever.
Nine?
I mean, the point is that happens a lot. And because nobody walks in the door, there aren't a continual line of people walking down to the permit office, the regulatory or the city commission and saying, look, I wanted to do this, but I just thought I'd let you know the reason I'm not going to do it is because of all your regulations. They don't do that. If that were the case, if everybody who decided to back out or came through town and decided...
Well, we talked about this last time. You want to build anything. Got to get a permit.
You got to get a permit.
You want to build...
You got to get a permit to get a permit.
You
got to
get a permit. You got to call about getting the permit to get a permit.
Right.
It is. And then as often as not, and they admit it, they don't know. They don't know the procedure. If you go down there and try and pin them down and say, look, what's actually going to, what is this, when you come out to this inspection, I mean, what exactly are you going to be looking for? And
they
what
don't
they'll
know
say
until
is,
they get there.
Yeah, all right, I'll know it when I see it.
Something to charge you for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and of course, you look at this stuff. Do you know when you look around and you see every single gas pump has a sticker on it from the insurance commissioner or the gas commissioner or whatever. That's every elevator.
Inspection.
Every year, right. The elevators have to get a new... I mean, you know, can you imagine...
Because there's always a lot of elevator accidents.
Oh, crashing all the time. You see about... I mean, they go horizontally through the wall. They're crashing.
Horizontally.
I mean, that's the problem with them. I mean, if it weren't for that little piece of paper on there saying it had been inspected, I mean, the bodies would be laying at the bottom of the elevator. Well, it would cushion the fall for the next one.
I found out a new...
Because all the bodies down there, you... Yeah. Like, and then the elevator crashes again, there's kind of a cushioning effect.
Just keep putting elevators in the shafts, you'll be fine.
The shaft, we're getting the shaft, all right.
Hey, but I wanted to say something also, but you said inspector, and I was out over at some apartments working, and the property inspector came by.
You mean the appraiser guy?
The appraiser guy, yeah. Property appraiser, that's right. He pulls up in a brand new hybrid. Hybrid SUV, yeah.
Taxpayers bought it, you know.
Right, taxpayers, but I mean, spanking new, right? I mean, I don't know how much this thing was, but it was a lot. And he got a big smile on his face, and he's walking around, and I said, well, you know, I can save you a little time here. I mean, you can basically, because it was the property.
Save him time.
Yeah, save you a little time here. Well, you know, I'm doing my
that.
Stuff, you know, right.
Yeah, so all I got to do is go back early. Then, though, you know,
well,
I was trying to
rouse him a little bit just to see what his,
let
what
me
his
save
actual
you a little
game
time.
Plan
the
was.
The whole thing ain't worth shit.
Well, I mean, no. I told him exactly what it was worth. I said, if you look around here, this is an apartment community, so it's the actual price of what you're going to sell this is however much money you're getting for each of these units times however many units you have.
Right. It's a cap rate.
It's a cap rate. Right. And so, and he goes, oh, no, you know, not a problem. He goes, yeah, I know that. And I said, but actually this particular property, I said, you know, it's kind of a weird grandfather thing. If one of these buildings burns down, the owner can't put a new one up. And,
That makes it worth less.
It makes it worth less, but they're not going to. You think they're going to come back and reappraise it at a lesser value? Not. I mean, they'd have to.
No.
Probably not ever. But I'm just saying, if they did do that, well, your property was appraised this before. I don't understand. What's the problem? You know. But anyway,
you see that burned out Hulk over
the
there.
Where I used to have tenants. Yeah, yeah. There's still some tenants in their bones and whatever. But the other thing that and he's just still smiling and everything is yeah. He goes, well, it doesn't matter what I say. They're going to raise the millage rate anyway.
Yeah, they're going to raise your taxes anyway.
And it really hit me. I mean, there's a guy driving around in a brand new hybrid
and what
SUV.
What he says,
he is the property appraiser.
Okay? Right.
What he says does not matter.
No, right.
No.
Okay.
And he knows.
And he knows that. And so that's why he can sit. And he goes. And he told me. He goes. I vote to you know. Every time when he privately votes, he goes. I vote to always not raise taxes and all this stuff. You know. But I got all my family has full blown health coverage.
Sure,
I've got
sure.
my 401k. I'm retired. I'm driving a brand new air conditioned hybrid, you know, around here or whatever, free, you know. And I'm having a great time. I'm going to go fishing this weekend with my new boat, you know.
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so as Jimmy and I were talking earlier, I mean, basically it's, you know, it's coming down to the point where if you want to say, secure your position in America, best thing to do is to work for the state.
Yeah,
work for the government.
Well, the same thing.
Well, yeah. And he's not going to get fired.
Senholz went into that a bit, you know, and he said, well, when it gets to the point of where there's more people working for the government than not,
or getting some kind of benefit. Also, remember there's the free or reduced lunches. There's the income tax credit, you know, whatever call it, the working man's tax credit. There's a bunch of, and somebody's mentioned that there are now almost 50% of the population gets some, other than the roads and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm talking about some kind of direct monetary or benefit to, you know, to get to that.
From the government.
That's from the government, right. Well, of course, the thing that, and I remember now what I was going to talk about.
All right.
I remembered.
All right, pour the shot.
I forgot. No. No, what I was going to talk about here, how are we doing on time as far as
well, I'll tell you what, you want to, let's come back and so you can forget.
Wait
a little
second,
bit more.
No,
I wrote it down. I wrote it down right here.
We need to take just a 1 minute break.
All right, let's take
a minute. Hopefully we're going to take a 1 minute break and you can edit this out because Jimmy has to go get some refreshment.
Oh, okay. How long is your point going to take then? You want
to my point?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gonna go on for a while.
Okay, then that's fine. We'll take a 2 minute break.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this.
But for everybody on our podcast, you know that's going to be an instantaneous break.
That's right.
So I mean, and you can pause it if you want to go take a little libationary break.
So I guess we'll be right back.
Do you want me to insert one quick thing?
No.
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you.
No.
Did you see this? That the committee decided to name a school after a former U.S. Attorney General or a basketball star. This is down in Miami. They're having a contest to name a school.
Uh-huh.
It was either going to be
the Doan Jimmy School, the Jimmy Doan School?
No. It was either going to be a former NBA star, Alonzo Mourning, who's apparently from Miami.
Mourning High.
Or... exactly. Well,
Come on.
Who do you suppose? Who do you suppose the government official that was in on the running from Miami?
Bush?
Nope. Janet Reno.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, she's famous down there.
I know she is, but she's, of course, she's a liar and a cheat and everything. I mean, they disproved all her cases.
So who won?
She cut her teeth or whatever, made her bones or whatever you want to call it on child abuse cases that it turns out were all bogus.
Yeah, and then, I could have told you that.
I know, but I mean, it was just stunning. You know, she basically went into the courtroom knowing that they were people being railroaded and then got to be Bill Clinton's whatever it is and then decided, why would I bother about a couple of kids in Miami when I can kill 82 of them in Waco?
Right.
You know, let me just get them out of the way right now.
That's what you're talking, bang for the buck.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so now, here's the destroyer
like
of Waco.
Better than
it turns out, it turns out that cooler heads prevailed. And by a 51-49 vote or something, Alonzo Mourning, so it's going to be Mourning High.
All right.
In Miami.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with the Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah, we're
back.
The Jimmy Doan Show.
After 30 seconds. Okay, good.
Hey, by the way,
a listener, Gino, did write in, and believe it or not, there is...
Good news, everyone.
Futurama is doing, has got contracted for 26 new episodes.
That is the best.
Fender.
Oh, my God, that's going to be great. I wonder what...
Are you kidding?
What they're going to use for writers. I hope they get the same crowd.
Well, I hope so, too. That would be very cool.
All right.
All right, Jimmy, what else is happening?
I just did want to mention one thing that I thought it was fascinating on the healthcare rationing. The guy says, let's see here, what does it say? The second rationing involves the uninsured. But the main thing here was, oh God, I forgot. They wanted, where is it here? No, the main thing was that I had it underlined here and I've lost it. The main thing was that the government was going to be the watchdog to make sure there was no fraud. I'm thinking,
watchdog?
What a riot. Yeah, I mean, this is, talk about the fox watching the hen house. This is what, Mr. Obama said, many Democrats have argued for a public plan that would be essential. In the president's words, to keep the insurance companies honest.
Right, right. Yeah.
I love this.
We need that.
And, yeah, I mean,
yeah, forget about the...
to keep the insurance companies honest. I mean, I love the fact that that somehow the government, which is not subject to any rules or regulations, is going to keep the...
Right. Well, and also, and the insurance companies that were completely subject to the price system were, of course, corrupt because you can fool Mother Nature that way.
Well, again, one of the things that we've talked about before here, at least here in Florida, we have an insurance commissioner, and there are like 1,800 insurance companies on various levels. I don't know if it's nationwide, but here in Florida, there's like, I think, 500 are licensed to do business. I mean, if that in competition, you know, what you need to do is get out of the way and let the market figure it out. But then, you know, somebody complains because they're... $1 million mansion got burned on the coast by a hurricane, and wants the rest of the people in Florida to pay for it. And so, you know, they do that. Okay, the next thing is...
You wanted to make sure you're right about the Tent City?
Okay, locally here, there's been a big hoorah because and this I understand this is going to dovetail into something that's happening in Atlanta with public housing. And locally here, the homeless people typically have been housed, if you want to call it that.
In tents.
In tents. What happens is they go out, and out here in one section of town on, I don't know, 30 or 40 acres or something like that, and there's maybe, 100 or 250 or however many there are homeless people out there. Well, what happened was the city, they were camping out on some city property, so the city kicked them all off and said, go live somewhere else. And so they moved next door to some private property. And that had been going along pretty much for months and months and months. Well, locally here, somebody got out of jail who was a convicted murderer or something like that.
Right. But father raper?
Something, I don't know, yeah. And he had served his time, and he promptly went over to Tent City and stabbed two people. And they caught him all, and I forget whether the people died or not, doesn't really matter, but, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But the owner said at that point, he said, I've tolerated this long enough, and now I'm going to post the property, and the tent people are going to have to get off. Well, you should have heard the hoorah here in town. I mean, the advocates for the homeless were all up in arms. This is a crisis that the city has to... So I'm here watching it because I have no life. Because I have no life, I'm watching our local government Channel 12 here during the hearings.
You're doing research.
In your bathrobe.
In my bathrobe and pajamas, watching through my feet.
Right.
And the mayor gets up there and says something about Section 8 housing, we're helping these people. And then the usual line, they said, are there any citizen comments? Well, there were about at least a dozen, maybe two dozen of the homeless advocate people down there. Mm. And they started up, and so I put, like a fireman, I jumped into my clothes.
Go get out, man.
And I was out the door in, 180 seconds.
Right. Still in your pajamas.
No. Oh. I have my clothes.
You've got your bat pole already.
I've got my bat pole, and my clothes are all, right. they're hung up
they're
so
hung
that
up
I could
so
just
slide right in. Right.
And then the shoes fit and everything like that. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I could be from pajamas to fully dressed.
At the courthouse.
In 29 seconds, and then I have to drive down to the city hall.
That's
here.
Only if the teleporter is down.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. That was a shame. So I went down there, and so I listened to these advocates as they went up there, and they're the same old crowd, and they're crying, and, what are we going to do, and this is a crisis, and we have to do something today. And what basically their solution was to move them to another piece of city property, the fairgrounds out here, temporarily, and give them some new tents or some better tents.
Or some FEMA trailers.
No FEMA. No trailers for them. This Tent City, they wanted to give them some shiny, brandy new tents.
Oh.
And so they went through this whole thing, and they're pleading with the city to, you've got to do something. You've got to come up with some money and so forth. Of course, the city's cut its budget by, $6 or $7 million out of a $300 million budget. And they're screaming that they can't do it. I got to give the mayor credit. What she said was, we don't have a statute in the city that says we have to take care of these people. We do it because basically we can. And now, of course, you can't. So, as usual, Jimmy gets up there, turd in the punch bowl, whatever, and says, this is a joke because, and I'll tell you why.
Screw them.
Basically, we have no choice. One of the things that I find fascinating is that I know about is in 1832, there was a public housing law passed in England, in London, Great Britain, someplace or another. That's the one it occurs to me that around that time, they started to address on a national, on a governmental level, the problem of homelessness. And they built, whatever they built. I don't know, their version of Cabrini Green or something like that. At any rate, since that time, 180 years or however long that's been, there have been untold trillions, untold numbers of people, untold solutions. There are 3,300 counties in the United States, and I would guess that every county has tried to address this at one time or another. And you'd think that after 130 years of the best and the brightest trying to solve this problem and the trillions of dollars spent, that they would have come up with a solution that works.
Well, they don't have a property czar is what.
Well, probably
property
right.
Czar.
But my point is that you would think that at this point in time, after all every experiment known to mankind has been tried on this thing, that they would have a solution that you could all, open up the book, homeless problem, here it is, and here's what you do. No, nothing. They are still experimenting. And what this tells me is obviously...
Call me a pessimist, but I think it's time for a new plan.
New plan, right. The deal is that it's obvious, it should be obvious empirically, that government can't solve this problem. Now, my thing was, and I turned to the people the dozen or two dozen people that were sitting there, bleating heart liberals for the homeless. And I said, you've got the nucleus right here. I mean, you don't need the government. If you had spent as much time, two dozen people that are here, and gotten together and worked out a plan, you might have been able to come up with something that would at least be a partial solution. The problem is, you spent all of your time down here begging for resources from me because the government, they don't have any money. The city doesn't have any money. They're going to come to me and get it. And you spent all your time, all this valuable time that you could have actually been addressing the problem. Mm-hmm.
You could have moved the homeless in with you.
Or whatever.
Right,
I mean, something. There's a million things you could have done.
Oh, I need 30
and instead,
advocates.
What yep. you do is, and then here's the tragedy of it all. When the government solves this problem, what happens is, who gets the money?
Well, the government.
The people working for the government.
Right.
The homeless, you can't write them a check because they'll just go out and spend it on,
they can't cash it.
Well, yeah, right, they can't cash it.
You can write them all a check.
But, I mean, you could throw $20 bills out of the Siegel building or something like that. And no, but the point is that they're afraid to give them the money because mm-hmm. they'll just squander it. So this is such an elitist, arrogant view. It's unbelievable. So what we're going to do is we're going to hire at, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a year, all the people in the government program, in the homeless division, and we're going to have our homeless czar and everything. And the homeless then can come to us, and we will tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm. Where to go.
And where to go.
Right.
I mean, but the point is, the money doesn't actually go to the homeless. It goes to the support group for the homeless.
Right.
Whereas a volunteer organization, like the churches or whatever it is, the food, the money, the clothing actually gets to the homeless people. And it's interesting that this is a special interest group, is they want the money to stay with the middle class people, and the homeless, get the short end of the stick, as they always do. And yet, they know, I know right off the bat that they can't do it. Now, here in Alachua County, they set up, Rodney Long here, the chairman of the county, of the board of commissioners, has hooked his star tail, whatever it is, to a 10-year program for homeless, to cure homelessness. We are 4 years into that plan, and this is 40% of the time is gone, and so far, nothing. Zero has gone on. There have been talk. I mean,
milestones reached?
Nothing. Zero. What they've done is they think they have maybe a contract on a piece of land where they're going to stuff all these people. And they call it a one-stop shop for homelessness.
One-stop pit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to have ovens and, I guess, and showers. And so, but I mean, the whole point is that they've had all this time and effort and talking, and it should be obvious to them that they can't solve the problem.
Right.
And so they ought to give it up. I understand the adage about if at first you don't succeed, try again. But after the 130 years of trying, you've got to face reality, and that is you can't do it. And of course, one of the reasons is political decisions are involved in this. And as we've seen here, especially locally, and I'm sure this is around the country, people listening to the show, when they watch their commissioners or whoever these people are at work, they invariably, the NIMBY aspect crops up, which is not in my backyard. And that's one of the reasons they've had such a hard time finding, quote, the property to put this one-stop center. And now it's out in the boondocks somewhere. So now where they're going to have to provide bus service and everything else, I'm sure they're going to give these people tokens to get in and out of town to their jobs, whatever it is. But, I mean, it isn't going to work.
Jobs.
I can tell you right now, it isn't going to work. And what I want
jobs.
These guys to do is they now have the 10-year plan. They're 4 years into it. They've only got 6 years left to figure out the speech that they're going to give at the end of 10 years as to why the program didn't work. And so I figured they ought to get started now.
They're
because,
working on it.
Because it's... And I know what's going to happen. They're going to come up and say, well, it is working. It just needs
need
to be
more,
fine-tuned, tweaked, and we need some more money.
More funding.
More funding. That's right. Additional funding. I mean...
Ratcheting
it up. Sometimes I don't know. As they say, if you have to explain it, it ain't funny.
That was funny.
I got it.
Yeah, so anyway, the point is that I here locally, and I've got to write a letter to Pegeen about this, our mayor, because the thing that she was proud of was when they're kicking people out of a...
We can all work together to build a utopian society free of violence, hate, and prejudice.
That's it. Nirvana. Oh, utopia. That's exactly right.
Worst, you filthy, pretentious savages.
You're good today. You're fine.
Look, this is a you can lead a horse to water problem with the poor.
Well, not only that, and of course, Mrs. Jimmy came up with this too, and that is that the poor and the homeless and whatever it is, a lot of there are many, many reasons for this stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's PSD, whatever it is, veterans, it's crazy people, it's dumb people, it's people that don't care one way or the other, there's addicted, and on.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be, but we've known this. We've known this for 30 or 40 or 50 years easily.
Millennia.
This has always been done.
For
I mean, the thing I look at is, we decided to send a man, and I hate to bring this up because it's used by the opposition so often, we decided to send a man to the moon, and in 8 years, problem solved. You want to send another man to the moon? You know, and it was for like $100 billion. If you want to send a man to the moon tomorrow, you drag out the old blueprints. You know, and you could do it tomorrow. You could do it. But the homeless thing, there is no blueprint. There is no solving it. They've spent 10, 20, 30 times as much money as they did send a man to the moon. And
this is the best part. When they want to send him back to the moon, they pretty much did bring out the old blueprint.
Exactly.
They're scaling it up again for the new.
My thought is there is a solution. The solution is get out of the way. Let the free market deal with
no
it.
No question. And that's right.
And the poor people have been raised up from their previous poverty in that. The poor people in this country have TVs and cars and cell phones and iPods and stuff.
You saw that. Did we talk about that last time about the person taking a picture of Michelle Obama at the soup kitchen?
Yeah, with $500.
$500.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. This stuff, they're still poor because they're poor relative to the new rich people.
Right.
But and that'll always be the case.
Always. It better be.
There'll always be people.
It better be.
Well, either it has to be that way.
Right.
There will always be people who are born, okay, and they've got nothing except their body. And that's poor by definition in terms of society. You don't have a lot of resources at that point.
Interesting, because when you go out, it's the same way. No matter how rich you are, when you go out, you ain't taking it with you. I don't care if you're a
pharaoh. Well, but I'm talking about for purposes of being here,
right.
While you're here, if you're rich, it's because you got a bunch of stuff. But there's always going to be people who are born and not have stuff, and therefore there are always
people. There's going to be people who start out rich and end up poor also.
But
divided into quintiles, there's always got to be a bottom quintile.
Well, right, and not only that.
By definition.
But if you have, and not only that, but if you have next to nothing today, you still have way more than if you had next to nothing 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, just infinitely more.
Right.
And so the poor have advanced significantly and will continue to if we allow the free market.
Well, not only that, there's a big switcheroo, too. I mean, there's a lot of poor people that end up not poor and a lot of rich people are not so poor people that end up poor. I mean, the various categories are in flux.
And we've talked about before, poor nowadays is just one high-def TV. Just
right,
one,
right. No,
one
that's right. No, that's right. And I had a friend of mine that
just
delivered Meals on Wheels, and I went to the park. But I was specifically talking about Tent City. These are people that, in fact, don't have the color TV or whatever it is. These are people that there's 100 or 200 or whatever it is.
Have you been in one of those tents recently?
No.
Man, I mean, there are some good tents out there. Well, no, I'm not kidding. For like $20, I mean, mosquito-proof, waterproof. Everything, you know.
Well, we had a lot of rain here recently. Look, what I'm saying is the thing that was so arrogant and so funny to me was that the homeless advocates were not advocating to put these people any place decent. They was going to give them a better tent. I thought, geez, you know, and better water, you know, and put them out at the fairgrounds.
They need a job.
One of the things that Pagin said, our mayor here, of course, we had another one of our subsidized housing places went a belly up because of the tenants couldn't take care of the place, and so they had to kick them all out, and they're going to tear it down, I guess, and put up something else there. I don't know what. Maybe some more subsidized housing. I don't know. But she was saying the people, again, the homeless people, homeless advocates showed up and said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all these people? And Pagin was all happy about it because she said, well, those that qualified, of course, we gave them vouchers for Section 8 housing. Now, for those of you who don't know, that Section 8 housing is a subsidized program where you can go out with this. It's like a rent stamp instead of a food stamp. You can go to somebody who maybe charges $500 a month, and you've got this coupon that the taxpayers give you worth $250, and you only have to come up with another $250. Well, I can tell you from personal experience, and this is one of the big flaws in this mixed, we want to have mixed neighborhoods with poor people mixing with rich people. It never works. It never works. First of all, rich people are not real happy about that. And the first thing that happens is, and this always happens, is that Uncle Festus moves in, you know, with the little girl who's got the Section 8 housing, and it suddenly becomes a drug house, and the middle-class people and above say, you know, I can't live here because nobody's going to do anything about it, and they hoof it out of there, and this is a classic case of the rotten apple does spoil the whole barrel, and it happens time and time again. I have Jimmy has personal experience with this. I had some apartments on the other side of town, and it's exactly what happened. In fact, I wrote to the commissioners at the time, and I said, you know, this one place here and 77 buildings with 170-some rental units and 40-some owners, we have one place here that is festering, that is causing all of our property values to be down. And, in fact, the rents that should be across the board on 170 units should be $100 a unit higher. We can't charge it because as soon as people drive into the neighborhood, they say, I don't want to live here. And in order to entice people to get there, you have to lower the rents. And so here we've got a case of this one little girl, you know, single mother, whatever, 18, she got her Section 8, and immediately the uncles moved in, and, you know, Friday night was, you know, drug night or whatever it is. We called the sheriff, and the sheriff comes out and says, well, it's going to take us a couple of years to build a case, and they, you know, hid some people out in the bushes and everything, didn't do anything about it. I finally sold them because, you know, it wasn't worth it. I bought these things so cheap because of this, I figured they couldn't get any cheaper. Well, how wrong I was.
Wow.
And, I mean, I ended up having to probably give the damn things away because until somebody actually goes in there and realizes that Section 8 housing or subsidized housing doesn't work in a neighborhood because it does drag the entire neighborhood down. The idea, they think, the homeless advocates and the poor advocates say, well, you know, it'll give these people something to aspire to. Well, they can already aspire to it. They don't have to be in my neighborhood to aspire to it.
Right.
You know, they can aspire to it from their own damn neighborhood.
It doesn't give them something to aspire to. It gives them something that they already aspire to.
Yeah, a place.
Right. Right. But again, I can't believe when I looked around and saw, here we are trying to help this little 18-year-old single, you know, mother.
Are you saying there are unintended consequences of that government program?
Again, not only unintended, but
unintended
the fact
costs?
Is that we're supposed to...
Hidden
we're supposed
costs?
To, we're supposed to try
no.
and help this little girl. And in fact, there were 170 other rental units that were harmed. There were 40 owners that were harmed to the tune of capital losses of, you know, tens of thousands of dollars per quadruplex. The city, of course, lost revenue because they didn't collect enough taxes because the rents were too low. And I cannot believe for a second that little girl's life was any better, even though she was in her own, quote, in her own house because she had, you know, her uncles, if you want to call that, living with her, you know, dealing drugs.
Is that what
drugs.
They call them these days?
That's what they call them, you know. That's what I say. Nieces, uncles.
All right, we got to take a break.
Okay, good.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back on the Jimmy Jones Show.
I'm kicking back and putting money in the bank account.
One of them Cuban girls with them pretty toes. Now my pocket's full. Jump by the beach and the car.